There are friends, former parishioners, and others who join us by video streaming, so I'd like to say a word of welcome to you also who are joining us electronically. And I would also like to mention that three police officers in a shootout all were killed, and they all went to heaven. And when they got to heaven, God asked each one of them, as people filed by your casket, what would you like them to say about you? And the first one said, I would like them to say that he was the bravest cop on the force. And the second one paused and said, I would like to say, have them say that I was an honest cop who died in the line of duty. And God said to the third one, what would you like at least one person to say about you? And he said, I would like someone to say, look, he's moving. So it always takes a while to get to the front row, I'm sure. It's like the gospel today and the reading from Second Chronicles and Second Book of Kings, sorry, and also St. Paul speaks about the man who is dead and his former ways, and now he's come to life in Christ. But the first and second and third reading speak of reviving a body, a person who has physically died, and the life breath is brought back into the widow's child, the widow of Zarephath, by the prayers of Elijah, the prophet. And then Jesus, out of his compassion, gives new hope and new life to this widow who has lost her only son. So she's a widow already, and now she's lost her son, and that's a great sorrow in itself. But also, at that time, for a woman to lose her son or her husband or both was to lose all of her rights and all of her hope as well. She could not survive on her own because women in that culture did not have equal rights. They could not own property, and on and on and on. Thank God we live in the 21st century for that reason, at least. And also, as we look at the gospel itself, it's important to remember that Jesus raises this young man to life again, that each one of us will come to the completion of our years on this earth, and we too will die. So the gospel is not about getting rid of death. Jesus is not in this instance telling us that he came to destroy death. But if we look at it from another angle, what is he trying to communicate to us? Because these people will all die, we will all die as well. And yet, he is the life, the truth, he is the way. So there's got to be something else that is at work in this. And I'd like to get back to that in a moment, but I'd like to use just two examples, real life examples. One is we've had 44 presidents, and our 14th president did something that or did not do something that every other president did. His name is Franklin Pierce. And when he was inaugurated, he did not put his hand on a Bible. In fact, he refused to have a Bible at the inauguration. But every single one from George Washington right to Barack Obama has placed his hand on the Bible and sworn to uphold the Constitution and so help me God. Franklin Pierce, at the height of his political career, 2 weeks before he was to be inaugurated. This would be in late February of 1853. He and his wife and their son were traveling by train to Concord, New Hampshire. And the train was in an accident. The car that they were in was derailed. And not only derailed, but it fell down, it rolled down an embankment, and the president-elect and his wife were unharmed, but their son was killed in that accident. So here he is at this shining moment when he's just two weeks away from being inaugurated as the 14th president of the United States. He loses his only son. He was so devastated by that, so angry at God that he would not place his hand on the Bible and swear to uphold the Constitution. So that's one person's way of dealing with this disaster in his life. And another one is a different personality, but Beverly Sills, if you're an opera buff, and I'm not, I just know a little bit about opera, but I know that she was one of the great talents on the stage in New York for many years. And she was called Bubbles because she was always a joyful person, wonderful to be around, and bubbling over with just joie de vivre. And Beverly Sills had two children who were special needs. One was a little girl who was completely deaf. She could not hear anything. And then she had a son who was autistic, so severely autistic that he was greatly handicapped. And what Beverly Sills did was to, this was on an opening night when she was a great success. Her little daughter was sitting next to her husband in the audience. Beverly Sills had at the conclusion of the opera a standing ovation that lasted 18 minutes long, and her little girl was looking at her dad and looking at her mother with all of these people cheering her mother on, but she couldn't hear a sound, and she said to her dad, "Was Mama good?" And in sign language he communicated, "She was stupendous." And then the little boy, Beverly Sills became this woman that did everything she could to help other children like her son and like her daughter, and became a great philanthropist, someone who was beloved, not just in the opera world, but in the world, especially in New York in general. What she did with what was handed to her was to bring out of her potential disaster, she brought great joy to so many people, and she surrounded those children with so much love that they ended up living lives that were filled with dignity and with great joy themselves. I think what the gospel offers us tonight, especially this weekend when our city has, like several other cities in this country, has been torn in a surprising and terrible way by senseless violence, and tonight we really have to pray for that young man and his soul, pray for his family, but also in our own lives, I think there is a powerful message that we can take in, and I think it's directly related to this gospel. We live in an age, to be honest, that is extremely violent. There are drugs, crime, murder, divorce, hunger, war, hatred, greed, a whole litany that could go on and on. And we need hearts that are open to the hope and compassion that only the living God, who is a God of love, can offer to us. If we were to return violence and retribution for this heinous crime, it would bring all of us to the level of this poor person. And I don't know much about him, so I can't say much more than that, but it has to come from a very dark place from this young man. And so, certainly his family, they need our prayers. We, in this gospel are given the option of going in the direction of Franklin Pierce. He ended up being a pretty mediocre president, by the way. I don't know if that had to do with not placing his hand on the Bible, but in any case, there are gestures that the Lord makes. He's not saying you will not suffer death. He is not saying you will not have pain and things in your life that you would not choose to have. But he is saying that by God's grace, we will, even if we face death, we will triumph over it, because the power and the love of God, the compassion of God, is always, always, always greater than the forces of death and darkness and evil in this world. That's the message, I think, that he delivers to us this night. I'd like to make sure that nobody thinks we're expected to be superheroes like the Man of Steel or any of that, but we all are at some moment called to recognize that by divine providence, we are alive at this moment in history, in this place, and at this time, and we have been given a purpose that is entrusted to nobody else, and we have a choice to make. And we can be messengers of compassion and hope, or we can be otherwise. But every single one of us can take and write a note of thank you to someone that we really wish to thank. We can pick up the telephone and make that call that needs to be made. You can send a text message to someone that you have neglected. We can reach out in so many ways and stem the ocean of violence that sometimes seems ready to overwhelm our society. This night, the victory of our Lord Jesus Christ over death and destruction is powerful and is the angle, I think, that we can choose to look at this gospel with. We make gestures as individuals. We may not be able to cure all the ills in our world, but we are here this night given this great gift, this great opportunity. And if you're able to participate in any of the healing that takes place in this city, please do it. Don't be afraid to go out a little bit outside your regular schedule this week. The college, which is devastated by this event, and yet President Chui Tsang, I just heard him speak over at St. Anne's, and he said, we are going to have a moment of vigil in honor of the victims tomorrow evening at the college, and everybody is welcome to that, but we are going to go on with our schedule as well. Our students will take their exams, they will finish the academic year, and we will continue. This will not stop us. I think he's a great example for all of us. So tonight, I really don't have anything else to say. This is a privileged moment for all of us, a moment of grace. In this darkness, we have a great choice that we can all make. Well,